Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The love of money can ruin our race of life. Knowing how to be generous frees us from the tyranny of our possessions. Generosity, it's one of the five disciplines that helps us grow godliness. And today, generosity is our focus. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in his series on Disciplines That Grow Godliness, Pastor Lutzer concludes a message on the discipline of generosity. Turn with us to 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we begin with a real bottom line kind of question.
How do you get somebody who is really stingy to become generous? Can you reason them into it? Can you read the Bible to them and show them? Probably not. The greed that is so deep within the human heart is not easily uprooted. Only God, ultimately, usually, can do that. And what people need to do is to recognize that because of God's generosity, He's been so good to us, when they understand what Christ did and God's goodness to us, that motivates them to begin to give. In fact, that's exactly the motivation that the Apostle Paul used in 2 Corinthians. It says, Christ, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Now Paul says, that's your motivation for giving. You've been redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God has redeemed you at high cost, and he has done so generously and joyfully and freely. Can't you see that being generous is just a response to his mercy? And that's why it's so important that those of you who have never accepted Christ as your Savior, by the way, that you not even give. Don't give to this church. Don't give to any church. For a number of reasons. Number one, so that you understand that salvation cannot be bought by money. But number two, because you don't really have the right motivation anyway. It is only a response to God's love and a response to all that God has done for us in Christ. That's why we should really give. It is our thank you for his mercy. So first of all, there has to be a change of heart. Secondly, and this is very important now and very difficult to do, you say, oh no, it's not difficult to do. You try it this afternoon. Take out a half an hour and do this. There has to be a change of ownership, a change of ownership. You must take everything that you have, you rich people, you poor people, you people in between, and you must give all those consciously, deliberately, directly to God. Absolutely everything. Because we must move from ownership to stewardship. It all belongs to God anyway. He has given it to us, and so it is simply a recognition that, God, I have taken and I have absorbed into my hands, I have grasped from your hand what belongs to you, and now I simply recognize my home and my car and my bank accounts and my whatever are all yours. I give them to you one by one. Oh, the struggle in the human heart to do that. But I want to tell you from personal experience, you will not be content until you do. You won't be content until you do. People say, well, you know, I know Christ as my Savior. I've been walking with him for a number of years, and I'm still not content. Well, Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am therein to be content. Some wag says, well, he never lived in Illinois. But the point is that the Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content. It is learned, but secondly, it will never happen as long as you own something. No owner can be content. It is when you transfer that ownership, then suddenly things become different. Then you don't use your credit card to buy an item that is going to depreciate. And the reason is because now you realize that since you are God's, it is his responsibility to supply that to you without indebtedness if he wants you to have it. Because now the decisions are no longer yours. You are a steward. You are not just somebody who does whatever you want to do just because you have the money to do it. This is God's money. Not just the money that is given in the offering plate, but the money that isn't given in the offering plate that goes for food and clothing and to pay the rent and utilities and whatever. So there has to be a change of heart. There has to be a change of ownership. And then there has to be a change of perspective, a change of perspective. Now you begin to view needs through entirely different eyes. Because now you begin to give joyfully. You give because this is God's work. You begin to give proportionately, as the scripture tells us. You begin to give regularly. And you begin to give imaginatively. It's not just giving into the offering plate, though that should be done regularly and proportionately. It means now that you are looking for needs that you can meet, and you are looking for those who have special needs and surprising them with gifts, because suddenly it has taken on a brand new perspective. You are now using your money so that people will greet you in heaven and that you will be found faithful with what God gave you. In a book by Willard Camden, tells a very interesting story. 1948 in Germany. Now, the war ended in 1945. 3 years after that, what you have is the German mark was totally canceled. But he tells the story of wanting to begin a Bible school in Frankfurt, and word had gone out that this Bible Institute was going to be begun, and a dear German woman, bless her heart, loved Jesus with all that she was, came and gave him 10,000 marks. 10,000 marks. She said, I want it to be your first gift in your Bible school, and this represents years of savings. He didn't have the heart to tell her, but he needed to remind her that apparently she had not read the newspaper the preceding day because the headline was Mark canceled. She didn't know it. All of that energy and all of that work and all of that effort, unusable, wasted, though her motive was good, but wasted because the mark had been canceled. Well, someday we're going to wake up and we're going to find out you young, good-looking men who want to be millionaires by the age of 30. Dollar canceled. Dollar canceled. It's all gone. What's going to last? What's going to last whether we go down in a plane ride or a car crash or die of cancer? What is going to last? It is that which we did for God. The text says, and by the way, when I asked you to categorize yourself as rich or poor, you know that 95% of us should have said that we are rich. If you've ever seen the other side of the world, you'd agree with that. And notice it says, instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous. Why? Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. That's what we should be doing before the dollar is canceled. One day in Christ's ministry, there was a young man who came to him who was rich, probably another one of these good-looking guys. Wow. And he said, what may I do that I should inherit eternal life? Typical rich, good-looking guy, inherit eternal life. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. There are two ways of salvation. One way is to believe in Jesus Christ, and the other way is to live an absolutely, totally spotless, sinless life. So if you don't want to do this over here, do this. Keep the commandments. You'll live. He says, I've kept them from my youth. And talk about denial. But anyway, Jesus said, well, if you've kept them from your youth, you should have no problem with the last one, which says, thou shalt not covet. Sell everything that you have and follow me. And the Bible says that he walked away very sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said on another occasion, how hard it is for those who are rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Riches means independence, self-sufficiency. It means that I'm fixing myself on something that I think is going to see me through any eventuality, not knowing that someday it's all going to be canceled. What was Jesus trying to teach? Was he trying to say that the way to get saved is by selling everything that you have and following me? No. People have done that and have been lost forever. But what Jesus was trying to do is to help this guy with a reality check. Jesus was trying to say, you think that you don't need a Savior and that you can inherit eternal life because of all your good deeds. I'm going to prove to you that you can't do good deeds because you're too selfish to do good deeds. And that's true of you and me if we're honest with ourselves. And so my last appeal to you is that those of you who do not know Christ as Savior, I do not want you to get the impression it is done by suddenly becoming generous. Generosity flows from the gift of Christ. And that's the sequence that we must keep in mind. Because when it comes to the gift of salvation, it says, ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, come and buy wine and milk and meat without money and without price. And he who is athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. It's not earned. Salvation is free. But once it is yours, and you understand the magnitude of it, you want to say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. Root out all of the covetousness, which the Bible says is idolatry. Root out all of the covetousness, all the desire to be rich. May I be rich in faith. Godliness with contentment is of great, great gain. And if God should bless me with riches, I will do exactly what the text says, laying myself up rewards for future habitation, to lay hold of that which is life indeed. The discipline of generosity, it can only happen when we give our selfishness away. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I am convinced that we cannot see the covetousness in our hearts unless God shows it to us, because we are so much a part of our society, a part of the expectations that we have in this culture, that oftentimes we may speak as if all that we have belongs to God, but we do act differently. And that's why coming before the Lord is so critical. I want to emphasize that I've written a book entitled How to Break a Stubborn Habit. Some of the chapter titles, Why is There So Much Temptation? What Are the Ground Rules? The Freedom of Living at the Cross? Renewing the Mind? Living with Your Feelings? The Intercession of Christ and Other Believers? Satanic Activity? I believe that this book, which is based on the Scriptures, will be of help to you as you navigate your own place in the Christian life. Please remember the title of the book, How to Break a Stubborn Habit, and for a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. And in advance, we're thanking you so much for your prayers, so much for your interest, and thank you for your support. Remember the title, How to Break a Stubborn Habit.
Next time, don't miss The Discipline of Prayer and Fasting. All of us have bad habits, and these can be tough to overcome. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.